Just raging boner the whole time.
Doesn't want pants that's in 6 years.
That's how he gets there. The business has been so successful. Just rocks up with a huge boner. People just intimidates people into using the services.
How are you going to negotiate with that?
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television show that you've never watched or that you have watched and you just want to hear it framed in a different way. Well, this is the podcast for you. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this, well, actually, I haven't explained what we do, which is we watch the first episode of a TV show and then the last episode of a TV show. Try and figure it out.
We do.
Joining me to do this is my good friend Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, Morgan. Ready to reframe Back to the Rafters.
As am I. I'm sorry for that introduction. I kind of tripped myself up there, didn't I?
Well, I think it's normally Jez tripping you up, so...
Yeah, I know.
He's really gotten in your head, even though he's not here this week.
He's always in my head. He's always just playing mind games with me. He's been sending me text messages all morning, so...
Throwing off your game.
Oh, big time. And at death's door is Scott. Scott, how are you?
I think that's an unfair assessment of my current state of mind.
I would disagree. I think it's a very fair assessment of how you look and feel.
All right, fair play.
I've got it inside your mind. And
especially how he looks.
Yeah. It's mostly how I look.
Exactly.
Covered in blood and
boils,
egg yolk.
Yeah, it's just like...
It's not a good look.
It looks like you have the plague.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. Back to the Rafters.
Mm.
We finally did an Australian TV show.
Finally, yeah. Suggestion from listener Callum.
Oh, was it really?
Thank you for that one. He was very keen on us doing an Australian show.
Number one Patreon fan, Callum.
Yes. Yeah, finally bringing it home back to Australia.
Yeah. Well, it's we've done 35 episodes.
Yeah.
Not a single Australian show. We've done an Austrian show.
We've done an Austrian show.
Yeah, which is funny. Maybe the wires got crossed on that.
34 American shows and an Austrian show.
have we not done a British show either?
No.
No, no, no.
It's weird.
It's because they, like most of them, there's two distinct types of shows. There's ones that end after two seasons and are great.
Yep.
And then there's just the ones that go forever, like The Bill.
Yeah. True. Even though they are terrible, there's probably none of the same actors that started in like 1970.
All there's ones like Jonathan Creek, where it's like they just do a season of like three episodes every couple of years. Yeah. Like every now and again. It's been running since like 91.
I'm still keen to do Pie in the Sky. About a small town baker who's also the only cop there.
I am very keen to do that.
I remember watching it with my parents when I was very young.
That sounds really wholesome and delightful.
It was nice.
Did they enjoy it?
They loved it.
They're big fans?
Oh, yeah.
Pie in the Sky.
We did want to... We knew Jez's absence would be a little bit upsetting for you, Morgan. So we did just want to make you feel a bit more at home. So we've got a treat for you this week.
Oh, good.
Selene looked at his computer screen and tapped it. I think it's time to turn our attention back to good old number 8. Turo regarded Selene with curiosity. What is it about humans that you find so intriguing anyway?
So that is a clip from Star Trek The Next Generation, Q Squared, the audiobook, voiced by John Delancey.
I know that voice. I knew it was John Delancey, and I just don't know why you did that. What? What was the point of that? Is that my treat?
It's your treat.
This is a tasty little treat.
You guys are dicks.
You don't want 2 hours and 59 minutes of John Delancey?
No, I do not.
He's got a... Okay, we'll find you another book because he's got a wide array of books that he's narrated. So.
Oh, wonderful.
We'll get you the Christmas gift pack.
I'll get a Kindle Fire and I'll listen to them all the fucking time. Great. I thought you were going to do like a mega mix of like just of different Jeremy clips. Mm. That would have been way better. Instead,
next time.
Instead, now my ears are bleeding. I just want to say as well, if John Delancey is listening, anytime he wants to come to Melbourne, there is a standing invitation to fight. Standing invitation.
You could go to him. You could go on the Star Trek cruise.
No, I'm not wasting. I'm not paying money to do that.
What if you sneak on? Bring a ladder with you.
I'll pose as one of the engineers and
yeah.
I'll assault Delancey with a wrench. But anyway, we should probably actually talk about Back to the Rafters. What did you know about Back to the Rafters going in, Aaron?
Very, very little. I don't think I've watched any commercial TV shows in a very long time. I just saw the ads relentlessly during the football, during its run, but never actually watched it.
Yeah, what about you, Scott? Do you know much about...
Yeah, not a whole lot. I am familiar with Eric Thompson's body of work. And by his body of work, I mean I've watched a lot of All Saints.
A
show that I watched with my mother.
Was he in All Saints? Is that what got him
famous? Yeah. He was Georgie Parker's main love interest.
Oh.
Mm. I forget his name in the show. But so I knew about him. I know who Rebecca Gibney is. But I really didn't know that much about the show.
Mm. Michael Caton.
Oh yeah, Michael Caton too. Yeah. He's in it, obviously.
It surprised me to when I read it, like jumped on IMDb. This actually came out in 2007. Mm. It's a lot older than I thought it was going to be. Actually, 2008. Sorry.
Yeah.
Which is it's older than I thought
it was more recent.
It feels like it's more recent. But that, I mean, it finished its run 5 years ago, which really surprised me. So, I'd never watched an episode. I saw the ad relentlessly plugged.
Who's watching commercial TV? Like, we streamed this on 7 Plus, and there were way too many ads in that.
Oh,
how could you put up with watching a TV show with that many ads?
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. It's battling commercial TV. It's not long for this world, I believe.
That's why 95% of it is reality now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Good times.
Terrible times. One thing people have asked whether or not we'll ever do a reality TV show. Is that something that we're going to move into? I personally don't really want to lower ourselves to that.
I'd be up for it. Just like taking one season of one particular show and just doing the first and the last.
Yeah, okay. I would like to do one that is a very, like, maybe like an unconventional show. So maybe not like your Survivor or your Bachelor or something like that.
Mm.
But like maybe like a really weird, like, Russian one or something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just find like the most obscure reality TV show.
So that Danish one, it was like kidney something where people who needed a kidney transplant were like competing to get it.
What?
That is awful.
Like, it was like 15 years ago or something.
That's fucked up.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is fucked up.
Was it real?
I don't know.
There was, what about that? There was a commercial network that did that. They did a show recently. It got cancelled really fast. It was like a family found like a. There was like $150,000 in a suitcase, and they could keep it for themselves, or it would pay for this other person's surgery, and they had to make the choice whether or not to do that or keep the money.
Yikes!
Yeah, it was something like that. It was like it was called the moment, or you know, the last, you know, or some sort of choice. It was just pure exploitation, and I think it was Channel 9 actually. I remember they
sounds like Channel 9.
Oh, it was like, I remember watching the ads. I'm like, this is despicable that they would even
how is
this
real thing? Like Black Mirror vibe.
Yeah, but it's
really heading down that path.
Yeah, I know, but it got like, I just remember like when it premiered, it just got savaged, and they pulled it straight away. Like they just like, no, we can't.
How do you not like? Just be like people in the office at Channel 9.
How do you get to the point where it's premiering?
Mm. Yeah.
Like that's the thing. I think that in their mind, this is one of those things where you have to... I know certainly with Australian TV, I think they were probably like, we've got to be really cutting edge and do something really, really on the edge.
Well, yeah.
But that's just...
It was for surgery? It was like elective surgery. Like someone just wanted a...
Like a facelift or something.
Yeah, a facelift or a tummy tuck.
Or a woman wanted to add a third boob.
That. You can keep the 150 grand or...
You can make their dream a reality.
Yeah. What would you do?
It depends on the surgery. What elective surgery? If it's adding a third boob, I'm all in.
Yeah. Or you could get yourself a first boob.
Just one boob
right in the middle.
Well, I've been watching an episode of Nip Tuck, actually, where J.K. Simmons got a pair of boobs.
I recall that as well.
He wasn't getting a sex change or anything. He just wanted a pair of boobs. And he got a pair of boobs. I just remember sitting there with he's got a set of boobs. Like, it's pretty good. I was like, what? It was weird. So, okay, I could keep. What about you, Aaron? You can keep the 150 grand or pay to get J.K. Simmons to the boobs.
That's a no-brainer. That is an absolute no-brainer.
You're obviously getting J.K. Simmons to the boobs.
Of course. Yeah. Mm.
So, are you saying that they should have cancelled Pack to the Rafters before it started? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I'm not surprised. Like, having now watched two episodes, I've filled my quota.
Your rafters packed?
My rafters are very packed.
They're overflowing.
But it was about as... predictable a show that we've walked to. Like I knew exactly what we're going to get when we decided to do this, and when I watched it, it's exactly what I got.
You can see the plot points coming up. You're like, 100%. This is how this is going to pan out. This is how this. Yeah.
Not least because Rebecca Givney's voiceover just flags everything that's coming up.
Oh my god!
Yeah, what was the point?
It was very unnecessary. Yeah.
Anyway, should we jump into the first episode?
I think we should
find out what happened.
Dave and Julie Rafter, a middle-aged Sydney couple, have finally moved all of their children out of the house so they can finally live a life untethered from the kids.
What's that the sound of?
I don't know.
Freedom.
This is celebrated by a romantic evening where Dave gets a little too excited and pops three Viagras for good measure. This leads him to the emergency department, where he has a quite embarrassing encounter with a nurse.
Well, for a silver wedding anniversary, it's an awful lot of wood.
The couple's newfound freedom is short-lived, though, when all the family are forced home through a series of sad-slash-tragic events. Here we're introduced to all the Rafters. Ben, their lazy and already washed-up 23-year-old son who moves out but only to the house next door with his best friend Carbo. As Nathan, the young go-getter whose finances have seemingly collapsed, resulting in he and his wife moving back home. And lastly, there's Rachel, who also flees back home after escaping an abusive relationship with her drug-addicted boyfriend. Making things even tougher, Dave leaves his job after his boss tries to force him to go part-time.
Is that it? He's walked.
Depends.
On?
Whether I can talk him down.
And with the house already suitably packed, Julie's father is forced to move in as well, after it's revealed he's not coping with his wife's death.
They really pack up those rafters, don't they? They really pack them,
sure
pack
do.
Them tight.
Pack them in tight. It's like a game of Tetris.
One thing that irritates me right off the bat, why does their last name need to be Rafters? Rafter. Like, if you want to call it Pack to the Rafters, just call it that.
Just call it that.
You don't have to have any flimsy excuse for it.
Mm.
Reminds me of that joke on The Simpsons where Troy McClure was promoting his new show, Handle with Care, where he played Jack Handle, a retired cop.
See, that's the sort of TV I'm looking for.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds much better.
It's this show, like, okay, it's not the worst show we've ever watched by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely not good and entertaining. Like,
it's not
just it was just so flat. I was so disappointed when I had to watch the second one.
Yeah.
This is like 40 minutes. Well, actually, it's like an hour because it's so on 7 Plus, there's so many goddamn ads.
Mm.
But everything in this show is just a real caricature of what everyone expects Australian life to be.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to like fill as many cliches and as many sort of like pockets as they possibly can, right down to the Greek neighbor.
Oh yeah. Do you not have a young Greek neighbor who is nicknamed has like an automobile based nickname?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Apparently not. No.
Who walks don't around have in the authentic Australian experience? Then you're missing out.
No, I don't.
We've got one on each side.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Double header.
You must have taken my allocation.
But yeah, like right off the bat as well, it was Rebecca Gibney. Going in to find her husband passed out in bed, just reading a football magazine.
Yep.
Just like the most typical stuff.
I know. It's
who's reading a football magazine in 2007?
I know, right?
Inside football? Was it inside football?
Probably.
I don't know. But yeah, it's so wooden. Like right down to the sun, like the washed up son.
God, Ben. I hate him. Such a smug fuck.
Yeah, he is. There's nothing smug about either.
Yeah.
I also Nathan as well, who's like meant to be the young go-getter one. But
what's he do? Is he a lawyer?
Yeah, I think it's some sort of contract law or something.
Yeah.
Boring.
Ben, you couldn't have hired two actors that look completely, don't look anything alike. It's not,
no chance they're related.
They're not brothers even remotely. But I'll tell you something really bothered me straight off the bat with him. His hairstyle in that first episode.
Ben's?
Yeah. Not Ben. No. Well, Nathan. Actually, Ben's wasn't great, but Nathan.
What, do you have like a slick back or something?
No, he didn't. It was just no man's land. It was all the same length all the way around, and it just was sort of hanging there. I didn't like it. No man's land.
Think it's a wig, maybe?
No, it's not a wig. It's just like...
just bad hair.
Just a bad haircut.
Mm.
I just don't know when that was ever popular. I don't remember in 2008 that being a good look. But the guy's like 24, 25. You know, come on, man. So have some self-respect.
No wonder your finances have gone to shit.
Mm. I also want to point out that what's the Jess Rafter, the daughter?
Yep.
Got the abusive Rachel? Boyfriend? Oh, Rachel. Sorry.
Rachel,
I'm thinking that. But anyway, the boyfriend looks a lot like St Kilda defender Nathan Brown.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick that up.
You didn't?
Yeah. No, I didn't notice.
Former Collingwood defender.
Okay.
You didn't notice?
Oh, no.
Okay.
He's like riddled by a meth addiction. Is that what you're saying? He's just sweaty all the time?
He just physically looks like him. They have the same appearance.
Yeah. I mean, Nathan Brown is often sweaty playing football.
Yeah, true.
And he does love meth as well.
He loves meth? Okay.
Loves meth.
All right. Because this guy loved meth. They didn't say it was meth, but it was probably meth, right?
Yeah, so he rocked up to that dinner to just... sweaty as fuck.
Look, it'll get me through, okay?
You won't eat.
Do you want me here or not? Because I can
relax.
Just to give you a little bit of composition. So they go to this same Chinese restaurant. It's like always the family always goes there. Nathan mm-hmm. doesn't show up. It's all the family there.
Every Australian family has a regular Chinese restaurant that they go to.
Exactly.
And they've got the equivalent of like Mr. Wong who gives them fortune cookies at the end.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that. It was a bit Mino Reiki.
A special anniversary fortune cookie.
Oh, good Henry. One.
Gotta have fortune cookies.
Yeah, it was weird.
He took a photo and was like, say chop suey.
Oh, yeah, hated that. Really? Like, come on, no one does that. Like, that really bothered me as well.
Yeah. Cracking open the fortune cookie.
Like, that whole sequence there where it's like, you've got Ted, the father, Michael Caine.
Mm, yeah.
Just like that whole family setting just really bothered me. Like, the whole dinner, like, everything in this show just seemed very.
It was very self indulgent. Like, the way that they were holding themselves in that restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had to hear everything that they were saying.
Yeah. Ben's shitty speech.
Somebody, comes in, like, bangs on the women's bathroom door.
Right, you two, get out here. I've got a surprise.
What?
Too aggressive.
It's a public, this is an establishment.
Yeah.
You can't just do whatever you want.
Mm. Yeah, that whole restaurant sequence really bothered me.
Very self-indulgent.
Like, and how everyone was so involved, the whole restaurant's involved in. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a restaurant and seen something, some sort of event at a family thing happen, and I've never clapped. I think I've seen a proposal at a restaurant and people got pretty excited about it. Like, there's some clapping started nearby and then it just got infectious, but
I've
seen that a couple of times.
Did you throw in a couple of booze just to...
Oh, I obviously throw whatever meal I have at the people.
You just have a slice of cake just hurled in his face.
Boom. Yeah, I tell you why I do that. You get kicked out immediately. You don't have to pay your bill. Oh. They just kick you straight out. They force you out.
They forget to ask
you for
money.
Everyone's so upset with you. They just kind of force you out. Oh. It's my move. Getting free dinners at
all. Eats.
Restaurant.
That's what I said. I've seen it a couple of times. You got to make your move. You got to strike while the iron's hot. You see that happening? Boom. Get involved.
Your window opens.
Ruin their moment.
Hey, it's a good story,
though. Get a free dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just any old proposal.
I'm always looking for a chance to hustle restaurants, you know.
I reckon you got a whole squad going. You set up another couple to do a proposal.
Yeah.
And then bam, you hit them and you're out.
Maybe they're out.
Maybe
it's three people getting a free meal.
Maybe that's something we could do. Like
play the long con.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could send, say, you and your girlfriend in, Aaron, for example. You guys could... You could then... you're in on it. You go to propose. I go up and I just launch my food at you guys. They kick me out. They feel sorry for you guys.
Obviously, free meal.
The meal is gratis. And bam, three free meals.
Mm.
And you can be the wheel man. We've got to get out of the bus.
Hightail it out of there.
Just keep my car going.
Losing a lot on fuel, but it's worth it.
Exactly.
I'll take the passenger side door off just so you can get in at any point.
We'll get some leftovers from Scott. Just scoop them off my face.
Completely unrelated.
That's a raw end of the deal.
Completely unrelated to all this TV show entirely. It's a real dream of mine to one day drive my car like along the beach in low tide.
Low tide, boy.
Just pull up to Zoom and go and just say it's low tide. I'm sorry, this has got nothing to do with the podcast, but I've been thinking about that for a while.
So when you like absolutely run your car into the ground and there's just like, it's got like... 100 k's left on it and you're about to take it to the wreckers.
Oh,
just straight down to
the beach. It's low tide, boys. Just drive through the really shallow part of the water. It would be so fun. Like, tell me you wouldn't laugh.
It would be the best.
Yeah, it'd be so fun. As you can see, rafters was not that exciting.
Yeah.
That's
more of a quintessential Australian
experience. You're dreaming
big
now.
Exactly. I am. I want to talk about my dreams.
I want to talk about one of the main things from this episode, the scene with the nurse.
Mm.
So after Dave pops those Viagras.
Three
Viagras. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Three. I still can't believe it. You must be insane.
I wanted to make sure I was up to it.
He was up to it and up to it.
What was he thinking?
Did he not, like, did somebody give them to, like, surely a doctor would have said,
yeah,
just take
and
one.
What's his wife's name?
Rebecca Gibney.
Yeah.
Rebecca
Gibney. Julia.
Julie.
Yeah.
Julie. Wasn't she like, you've never had issues before?
Mm.
And he was like, I wanted it to be like when we were young. So I'm just going to have an erection for 15 hours.
Yeah, like when we were young.
Yeah. Obviously, he needs to get the blood drained from his penis, as you do.
Mm.
And then he goes to see the nurse and she makes some very sassy remarks.
Yeah, very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional.
You didn't read the bottle. Well, I guess you weren't exactly focused on packaging, were you? Not at that particular moment.
That whole sequence really bothered me. I'm like, you would not, like...
No.
Like, nurses and doctors aren't like that. They don't... Like, it's like, go to the hospital for this, get humiliated at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, buy one, get one free.
How else are you supposed to learn your lesson?
dick-related injuries, it's just open slather. They can say what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Freebie.
The Hippocratic Oath's out the window.
Oh, man. That
does not cover genitals.
No. Needle right in the dick as well.
Right in the dick.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, also, he is like trying to conceal it.
Yeah.
For what seems like 5 minutes.
Mm.
It's not that difficult.
No, unless he's got like a real monster dong.
Yeah, like.
And he just cannot fit it inside his pants.
Just like.
Whack on a pair of jeans. You'll be fine.
Whack on a pair of jeans.
Don't look all awkward. No one's going to be looking at your dick.
Tuck it into your waistband. What's the problem?
I just feel like his heart would explode with that much Viagra in his system. Like,
yeah. It's pounding.
Three Viagras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just don't get it. Another thing, just with the whole, like, this show just being complete caricature. Okay, yeah. Mm. So the son moves next door with the Greek neighbor. Parents are house sitting. Like, just the reasoning, like, the house is filthy. Like, oh, we'll get a girl here so she can clean up all the time.
Better get tidying then.
Isn't that why we're getting her to move in?
Mate, one look at this place and we won't see it for dust. But clean up this once, we'll never have to clean again.
No one thinks like that.
No. And so they have the party, and then the next day, the girl's coming over to look at the house, and they want to clean it up. So it like sets the standard of like it always needs to be clean, which is obviously her job. Mm. So they wash all their clothes.
Yeah.
They put all their clothes in the washing machine, except for like their boxer shorts.
That's what I find all their clothes.
Yeah,
everything.
And then Ben comes in and like says to Carbo, like, "Oh, why'd you wash all our clothes?" He said, "Like, oh, you need to wash all the clothes." How did Ben end up taking his clothes off and not know what was happening? It's like, why are you asking for the clothes that I'm wearing?
Yeah. Hey, man, can you just pass me a shirt?
And sure. The 2 hours later.
I can picture Ben not having any clothes at the house. Very simple problem to solve. Go next door to your parents' house where most of your shit probably still is.
Mm. Yeah.
But this is Carbo's home. His childhood home. He's lived there his entire life, seemingly. And you're telling, and they want us to believe that he has washed every single piece of clothing he has.
How big is that washing machine?
The thing must be like
one of
those
TARDIS.
Must be one of those like industrial sized ones, like that they've got. But it's
like, and then Carbo just like rips the door off the hinges so it doesn't close again. And then there's just water everywhere. They're just squelching around.
But you've never done that?
I've tried.
It's never happened.
So I'm out of clothes.
Well, there's my dad's stuff. Are you out of your mind? I wouldn't be seen dead in your dad's stuff. Have you got any better ideas?
And I love his dad's clothes. Just again, like these ridiculous like 1970s outfits.
It's like some hot pants and
ridiculous
like V-neck.
V-neck midriff shirt, and Carbo's wearing the white safari suit. But the sizing's so out of whack because the safari suit's massive on Carbo, but then this other shit
feels like a 6-year-old child.
Doesn't even fit. Like the thing is, like I'm sure that you didn't have to go with the safari suit. I'm pretty sure that his old mate would have like a blue t-shirt upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck on it. It's gonna be fine.
Just a polo or anything.
Exactly. I think it's like it's clearly like middle-aged parents wrote this TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just like the drug addicted boyfriend who's beating their daughter and just. Again, covering a lot of bases and just every single story arc again. It's just, they're not unbelievable story arcs, but they're just very plain and boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. They're really, like you said, casting a wide net. Mm. And it really took a turn towards the end of the episode when within about 30 seconds, they had a shot of the daughter getting in a fight with her boyfriend and Michael Caton crying over his dead wife's clothes.
Oh,
it just went from like kind of comedy, drama, family stuff to that in like zero time.
They had no transition
it was
whatsoever.
Very confronting. It's oh God.
Jesus Christ, it's all falling apart.
Very unsettling.
And I love it when Dave walks out on his job. Like, you know, the firm's not doing so well. He's walking, shove you and shove off.
You can shove your job.
He lost it.
Mate. And shove you.
Storms out, gets home. And then Rebecca Gibney comes home and he's just out, like, when he gets angry, he mows the lawn.
Yeah.
But I just love it. He's got a 6-pack of beer. It's just sitting warm out in the. She's like, oh, I saw the beers. And it's like, why did he put them in the fridge?
Just put them in the fridge.
Really bothered me as a man in the beer industry.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you don't keep your beers ambient.
Can't do that shit.
It's really,
They do it different in the Rafters household.
Apparently.
You've got to drink your beer warm.
Pretty sure sitting in a warm climate. You don't want your beer sitting out.
No. Just speaking of his job, I wanted to mention one of his co-workers, Warnie. Do you guys notice him?
Oh, yeah.
He was such a smug piece of shit.
What was his voice?
Loyalty
What century are you living in, mate?
What century are you living in, mate?
Yeah, he was, again, like...
That's another thing, is like, oh, everyone's got that annoying coworker who's really irritating.
The really smug young guy.
Yeah, I relate to that.
Exactly.
Warny.
Yeah.
Warny. Why that nickname? Why at the end, with the narration?
With the neurotic narration?
Yeah. It's narration by Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Why do they have to say the title of the show in it? It's like doubling down on like the fact that they're called the Rafters.
Yeah.
The show is called Packed to the Rafters, and then at the end she's like, "We truly are
packed to the rafters."
It's not a fucking bedtime story.
Yeah.
No.
This is supposed to be
the end.
A show. Like
So unnecessary.
Sickening. It's absolutely sickening.
Like, you do not need that many like tips of the hat to the name of the show.
It's like they're just killing time.
Who cares?
They're just killing time at this point.
Yeah.
We get it.
Rebecca Gibney's just riffing.
We get it. You came up with a clever name for a show. It's like, don't rest on that.
No, you don't understand. Their last name is Rafters.
And there's a full house.
Oh my God. You know what they should have called this show? Full House. Well, I honestly can't talk any more about episode one. Let us please dive into episode two.
Let's do it. In the final episode, we're seeing off the Rafters' family home after everybody finally moves out. Although Julie is having some trouble letting go of the small things.
Hey, what are you doing with that?
You can't possibly want to keep it.
No, we are moving to the most neutral townhouse in the world. We need our things to personalise it.
Yeah, some things, sure, but just not this.
Nathan, he's throwing out the Blue Mountain Snow Dome.
The what?
Meanwhile, Julie's father, Ted, has been moved into a nursing home in order to manage his dementia. He believes his wife is still alive, but has trouble remembering who his family are.
Just come to see how you are. How you liking the place?
Julie. Of course.
Dave's wannabe musician friend, Matt, decides to throw the Rafters a house cooling, and everybody turns up so they can wrap up all their storylines at once. Ben Rafter decides to move in with his brother, Nathan, and help raise his child. Carbo is gifted a vintage car servicing business and announces that he and his girlfriend are pregnant. Brooke Satchwell, who's now in the show, decides to date her ex-con ex-boyfriend. And some character we don't care about pinches a male work colleague on the bum. After much back and forth, Julie and Dave choose to put off buying a new house and decide to take Dave's kitted-out combi van and travel around the country.
I love how they, in the last 5 minutes, they just did the clips.
Yeah.
Clip show?
Yeah.
Love a clip show.
Knew it was coming.
Because this show, I'm not to jump ahead a little bit to speculation and little facts, this wasn't cancelled.
Okay. No.
This was wrapped up.
This is how they wanted it to be?
Channel 7 actually wanted to keep it going. So,
okay, yeah. Really?
But they
kept their creative integrity intact.
They did fully.
Absolutely.
But no, Gibney and Eric Thompson wanted to move on. So, they pulled the
wanted
pin.
To go on the road trip themselves.
Exactly. Well, they wanted to get into other projects.
The highlight of that clip show was easily, what was their musician mate's name?
Mike? Matt.
Matt. He's driving a cab and Molly Meldrum gets in.
Yeah.
Oh, like, God.
Here's my CD. You should listen to it.
So many layers.
I was reading a, as we usually do, like I read like an episode summary from you know, like a wiki or something, just to like get a, you know, an overall view of the episode. And in that summary, somebody had written that Matt is signed onto Molly Meldrum's record label. It's like, why would he?
From that
interaction, like where he just like gets in the cab and he's like, I have a music. And Molly Meldrum, okay. Yeah,
sign
sure. Yeah. This is how it works all the
you
time.
You got me.
This is how the biz works.
If you can find me, I'll sign you up.
He definitely like, wasn't going to get signed.
Does he have a label?
Molly Meldrum.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe.
That sounds exceptionally made up.
There is one thing I want to talk about, which was, okay, back to beer.
yeah. Everything, all roads lead to home.
At its core, this show is really a show about beer.
Uh-huh.
And they've got that Howler's beer, which I've never heard of. I'm pretty sure it's a made-up brand. I thought it was homebrew for a little while, but anyway, they're all drinking it. But I think it's at the start of the party. It's a new character. I don't know who he is. Mm. He rolls up with his partner. She's got a bottle of wine. He's got a six-pack of beers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Ben goes to him, oh, mate, do you want a beer? He's like, oh, no, I got my own.
Yeah.
No, mate, I've got plenty in the fridge. And then like this weird back and forth.
Yeah, really what? Like pushing
that
the beer.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, man, have one of the beers. All right, cool, thanks, cheers.
Oh, no, it's okay. I've got some in the fridge.
No, it's cool. I've one of mine.
No, really, it's fine.
Go on.
Okay.
And it's like, it's just really tense moment.
I thought,
What? Am I missing something?
Yeah, here? Did we miss a storyline or
that
something?
Was very
about,
odd.
Yeah, there's obviously something that's happened between those two. And that was,
I thought maybe Ben like wasn't drinking or something because he was like, "Nah, I'm okay. I'll have one later."
Mm.
But he's like, "No, have a beer."
Yeah,
like, all right, man, relax.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, here's one thing that I know about the show because somebody at work told me about it, which was that he was in a relationship with someone and she died.
Okay.
Yes, the nurse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was her. So the nurse gets that nurse. They get married and she dies. So, or they get engaged or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe she died from beer or something. I don't know. Just something
you
to make
never
that interesting.
Anyone,
no. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Can we talk about the doctor?
Oh boy,
Have I seen him
from? This medical stuff.
He's in stuff. He kind of looks like a thin Shane Jacobson.
He does, doesn't he? I feel like he's in some sort of TV ad campaign that I've seen. Where I feel like I've seen him from.
Yep. So he, I can't remember the character's name. Carbo's Miso.
Yeah.
She's.
But he doesn't know her name either. He just refers to her as that.
Yeah. Mrs. So she's pregnant. So she had previously
had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so they're going through the tests, and he says to her,
"Let's face it, you got pregnant against the odds. Sure this kid wants to be."
That is awful, an awful thing to say as a doctor.
So unprofessional.
It's not your role to say shit like that.
It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stay impartial.
He did say there was no ironclad guarantees, though.
That's true.
He prefaced it with that, so I think he's in the clear.
But he knows from the test the baby wants to be alive.
Yeah.
As opposed to her last one.
Are you calling him a liar? Are you calling the doctor with the side business of a vintage car dealership
which
a
he
liar?
Then just hands off to Carbo after a 30-minute interaction?
It's just so it's
ridiculous. I wouldn't trust him. I'd find another doctor if a doctor said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all
he wants to do like during the ultrasound is talk about cars.
Excuse me. Hi, doctor. Can you just take my blood, please?
Sorry, I'm a bit of a car nut. I get it from my father.
Exactly. And it keeps like referring back to his dad. It's like, yeah, we get it. Your dad liked cars. Oh, well, it's just you reminded me of my dad. He loved cars. Did I tell you that? He's got a car. Oh, this is my old car dealership. It's a hobby. And so,
talk
it's
about
like,
my
well,
baby.
It's like, oh, then why are you a doctor? Oh, it keeps me busy. What are you doing like 90-hour weeks?
What do you mean keeps you busy?
Oh, yeah. That guy was no good.
Watching the last episode, I tell you, Eric Thompson had aged considerably in 6 years.
Yeah.
Rebecca Gibney looks like she'd gotten younger somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thompson's a real... I think maybe it's just because he's cut the long hair off.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just looked very, very weathered.
He did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
That's what Viagra will do to you.
Yeah.
Three a day.
Three a day for 6 years.
The blood's just
years.
Draining from his head. Aging at 10 times the rate.
But my God, his penis looks immaculate.
Oh, man.
Just raging boner the whole time.
Hasn't worn pants in 6 years.
That's how he gets how the business has been so successful. Just rocks up with a huge boner. People just intimidates people into using the services.
How are you going to negotiate with that?
That's what Lyndon Johnson used to do.
Yeah, that's true. It's a real power play.
Yeah, he used to get his dick out all the time.
Is that true?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, apparently the guy's an absolute psycho.
Yeah, he'd just like have meetings with people while he's having a shit.
Yeah, no, while he's having a meeting with someone, he'd walk in the toilet and have a shit while they were talking.
Like door open.
Door open. Yeah. Yeah. It's like one of his moves. Like just to
like
point
a
out.
Like a power play.
Yeah. It's like
Fargo.
Like the guy comes in to threaten him and Billy Bob Thornton just takes a shit while he's threatening him.
It would throw you off.
Oh, it'd be so weird.
Yeah.
When it would just like get his dick out in meetings.
Just whip it out and go, "Hey, what do you think of this, eh?" Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, real sociopath.
So that's... All right. So Eric Thompson's following in his footsteps, you think?
He just doesn't
have a choice. It's got to be out.
Yeah, exactly. He follows the Lyndon Johnson school of of negotiating. Just goes
read
now,
his book.
Starts quoting something, takes a shit while he's quoting it.
It's a subscription service. Just get like instruction guides and Viagra every week.
Exactly.
Get Tony Robbins sort of self-help. Here you go.
One thing that I think happened throughout the series, it probably didn't, but I like to think that it would have, is that, you know, Dave was really excited about like all the family moving out in episode one. So like by I reckon season two, he's joined some fight club. Just needs to blow up some steam.
Yeah. Obviously raging hard erection while he's just beating the shit out of people.
Three Viagras. fighting bottomless, just wailing on some dude.
Bottomless.
He's wearing like a yellow polo and
no
just
pants,
no pants.
No shoes.
That's second rule.
I think this show was essentially an Australian Seventh Heaven, though.
Yeah.
They really, like, they had the cavalcade of kids and misfits rolling through the house, ended with that road trip.
Felt very Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. Except they didn't have the ridiculous three-item rule.
Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't take everybody with them.
Yeah.
They took their youngest kid. So they had another child.
Yes.
Was that their child?
Yeah, it was their child. Yeah. So, which.
I thought that was going to happen. I thought that maybe she was going to. Julie was going to find out that she was pregnant in the first episode. That's where I thought it was going.
Yeah,
was
like, right.
Pretty much just like the pilot for Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Gotta love me.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that we don't. We're not talking about dinosaurs. We're not bringing it back up. I don't want to talk about it.
Nah.
Like you said, I phoned that episode in, you dicks.
There was one scene that jumped out to me when they were doing that Skype call with the daughter who's living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave was about to give a speech. And then Ben jumped in and kept interrupting him and mocking him, saying like, oh, I'm Dave. I always give speeches when kids move out.
You lame jakes and wish them well on their way.
And there was a moment where Dave like kind of laughed to himself, like just did a little. And I legitimately thought he was going to punch Ben in the face in that moment. He looks so mad. I wish he did. I felt that as well, that way as well.
Nah, it's all right. This is why he goes to Fight Club.
Yeah, yeah. Pops a Viagra and just, save it. Save it, Dave-o.
I can tell you this show was very successful.
Yeah.
Again, because it was wrapped up by basically because people had left, like cast members had left the show. So I looked up. I looked up. So like the kids aren't in every episode.
Yeah.
Only.
Can I have a guess? Michael Caine's the only one. My guess was going to be that Carbo would be in every single episode.
I think he was in everything but one.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, I haven't seen that guy in anything else. And he's probably the worst actor of all of them.
Yeah, he's the cheapest one to pay.
Yeah.
So. he doesn't even have a photo on IMDb.
Doesn't he?
Really? No.
That's never a good sign.
Let's get on to that. Let's do that for him.
I actually put a photo, like Reese Muldoon didn't have a photo on his profile. On IMDb.
Really?
I put that there.
That's you?
A photo of you?
A photo of you.
Yeah. It was one of his headshots I got off Google Images. I'm like, I'm going to put that on IMDb. So I registered myself an account, put it up there. I wonder if it's the same one now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Reese Muldoon, you're welcome.
Thank him later.
I think you're officially his agent now.
Yeah. I think that's how it
works. Should be getting a cut.
I should be getting a cut. I'll get my people to contact his people. Yeah.
Aren't you his people?
Well... Yeah, indirectly.
Yeah.
Indirectly, I've got a huge client base. The kids went in every episode. So I think Jess was in like 85, Ben was in like 102, and Nathan was in like 101 or 100.
How many episodes are there all?
122. So Michael Caton, Eric Thompson, Rebecca Gibney were the only ones in every single episode.
Yep. How's Carbo in almost every... God.
Yeah, I think he was. I can't remember.
Fucking Carbo.
It was close to every episode.
Yeah, it was. He only missed one.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was something. It was really close. But that show, like at its absolute peak, it averaged 2 million viewers.
Oh,
wow, that's 10%. That's almost 10% of the population of Australia.
That's huge,
insane.
So you can.
I mean, it held the. I don't know what time slot it was. Like 7:30 on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
it held that. That exact time slot for its entire run.
They just had no need
to move it around at all.
Which is crazy because normally, you have to sort of shuffle. Like, the death time slot's 8:30 on a Friday.
Mm.
But never quite got there. But even so, by the end in that last so they basically thought they could keep the show alive. The show could always work. And they could roll in new characters they have with Brooke Satchwell and whatever.
Yeah.
Mm. As long as they had Rebecca Gibney and Eric Thompson. They were happy to keep it rolling through.
Yeah.
Mm. But once those two wanted to move on, so Rebecca Gibney wanted to move on to other projects. But the new Eric Thompson project was that show 800 Words.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, where in this article I read about it, it's like Thompson's new project on Seven was unashamedly the same tone as Pack the Rafters, which to me was like, it's essentially he's the same character. He's just... Got a new show. It's like about
he takes two Viagra instead of three.
Yeah. So his wife dies, and he takes his kids and they move to some remote community in New Zealand, and he takes like three Viagras. And
does he play like John Words? And he has 800 kids.
Yeah, it's like an adaptation of that Vince Vaughn film, Delivery Man.
Yeah.
But it's
John Words.
Because in the last episode, I think the last season was averaging like 1.3 million viewers. So they were happy, really happy with the...
That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm surprised it was so successful, but clearly casting that net wide really works.
It really works, yeah.
So we can, I think we can, this actually was a great show, I think, for speculation here, because it's based on the start to finish, the way it wraps itself up. It's very clear what's happened in the interim, much the same as Home Improvement when you have this, I think it's what happens when you have family dramas, but it looks like, obviously Nathan has a kid.
Yeah.
Looks like he has an affair.
Yeah, so that was that weird British woman.
Yeah, Saskia.
Yeah. She was very irritating.
Yeah, a pointless character as well.
Yeah. So she had moved back to the UK and then came back and wanted to be a part of...
But he had the kid for some reason, because maybe she was unstable or something. Mm.
And how old was the kid?
Like 8 months.
Yeah, geez, this all seems very strange.
Yeah, tight timeline.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't get into the timeline too much. Ben clearly goes traveling at some point, gets married, and then I think he probably leaves the show after his nurse wife dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I reckon he just goes on some like long trip. That's why he comes back in that. I think he's only back for a little bit of that last
year. When did a stint on Underbelly or something.
Yeah, something like that. The daughter clearly just, they write her out by meet some that guy and they move to New York.
Yeah.
Michael Caton's, did I not call that there would be some sort of move? We were talking about this last night before I'd watched it, and I said that Caton's on the edge here. He's going to end up in a home by the end of this.
Oh, yeah. A home or prison.
There's only two ways out. It was just all very predictable. Like,
yeah. Yeah, those scenes with him are pretty full on.
Look, don't you worry about your mum and me. No matter how far you go, we'll always be here waiting for you.
They were quite confronting.
Yeah. So he's obviously suffering some pretty severe dementia.
Yeah.
And just talking to his dead wife.
And they seem like, it's very, like, Dave is so nonchalant about
it's
the whole thing.
Like, when he's trying to convince Julie to go on the road trip, he's like pretty close to just flat out saying, it doesn't matter about your dad. He's not going to remember anyway.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, he's got dementia. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, he's done.
He doesn't even recognize you. Yeah. Let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
I feel like he really had to bite his tongue and not just flat out say that.
Pretty much. But he's so, like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And Rebecca keeps just dying inside because her father doesn't even recognize her anymore. Yeah, he'll be fine. He's having his own little world.
You're not leaving the dog at home for the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. You are traveling.
That's fine.
Yeah, your father has like
the food out.
Like pretty severe dementia. He's declining quickly, and
let's bounce.
Yeah, all right, but get out of here. He'll be fine. Mm. Who's that old lady taking care of him? Is she employed by
the manager of the home or something?
Yeah, or like a friend also. Like something.
There's a real what's that movie? The Notebook, real Notebook vibe about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I've just got as a note down here, just like, dementia is sad.
Correct. It's just sad. I'm not going to argue with that.
I've also written down, Brooke Satchwell is attractive.
I'm not going to argue with that either.
Yeah, these are all facts.
These are the staples of life.
Are these from IMDb trivia as well?
Yeah.
Yep. 28 out of 29 interesting.
Why does Brooke Satchwell get the tattoo?
Yeah, that was weird. So her ex-boyfriend,
Kobe.
Kobe. He obviously wanted to get together with her and she wasn't sure, so Mike convinced her.
Yep.
And instead of going to talk to him and say, let's do this thing, she just rocks up with the tattoo.
Yeah.
You got the tat.
Yeah, and it killed.
Yeah.
And he's like, does this mean...
Yeah, and she's like...
That's a romantic gesture.
Yeah.
Tat.
But she's like, come to like my place at 1 o'clock so we can talk about it. And then at 1 o'clock, she's off getting the tattoo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it was a really weird way of doing it.
Reschedule.
Yeah.
Just be a human.
Yeah.
Just do it normally. This is why your relationship
doesn't
work.
It was like a flower?
Something like that. I don't know. Maybe he must have drawn it or something like that.
I reckon it's a prison tat.
Prison tat.
Got it from Bubba. Prison.
It's a danger. You should never get a tattoo. For someone that you openly said, last time we were together, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
So you get a tattoo to profess your love to him. Johnny Depp did that. He got tattooed Winona Forever for Winona Ryder. Yeah.
I did not know they were together.
But they were in the 90s. They were one of those power couples. Anyway, he had so obviously they're not together anymore. So he had that change to Wino Fever. Can't remove it.
That's good. He's done well with
Wino Fever. I'd be pretty.
Didn't have a lot of wiggle room.
No, I think it's one of my favorite. I might have made that up. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely didn't make it up.
But yeah, build some room to move in your relationship, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
This is probably one of the reasons why it didn't work out in the first place, is because you're overcommitting.
Yeah, very impulsive.
I will say to the listeners out there about this show, you could, if you wanted to watch this show, seriously, just watch the first and the last. You will these first and last episodes just bridge the gap completely.
If you're running out of time,
yeah, you just want
to
catch
a little bit. You want to see Pack to the Rafters.
I've never had much desire to, but you can
safely say you've ticked it off your list.
And if you want to see 38 ads for Andrew Denton interviewing Gene Simmons, watch it on 7+.
I didn't get the Gene Simmons ads.
Really?
You know,
I was talking about this last night.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I had a lot of Mayfever peanut butter. I had some muesli ad. And today, when I watched it this morning.
Did you get Home and Away ads?
No, I didn't get Home and Away ads. I got, I can't remember now. But I got a lot of Han Solo ads.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just targeted.
Yeah.
I'm all about Gene Simmons and you're all about peanut butter and Star Wars.
And muesli.
Exactly.
I'll take yours.
And also just a throwback to our last episode about, I think Jeremy pointed out during the week about how my Morgan Freeman joke didn't age very well at all.
No. That was a very, quick turnaround.
Yeah,
this,
I know.
This week's meeting of the Morgan Club.
Yeah, thank you.
The big freeze.
Thank you to that comment to Dangan on our Facebook page. It was, pretty grim meeting. I was there by myself. it's so funny how it just shows you how quickly things move because I think we recorded that like a week before.
Yeah,
released it like maybe a day or two before the whole thing came out. And yeah.
No good.
Cool. All right. Well, I reckon we're done with speculation. I'm done with episode 2. I don't know the finale, I should say. Shall we reboot this bad boy?
Absolutely.
Ooh, loving that.
Yeah, you like
that's
that?
That's new. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good good little segue. This is a real professional outfit we're running these days.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. You better believe it.
Do you want to kick us off, Scott?
Absolutely. So I really saw this show as just like an ad for finding a partner, right? Like everybody in this show gets like shacked up with somebody. And it's like, that's like the paramount thing. Like if you're not with someone, how could you possibly be happy?
Mm. Yeah. Look at Michael Caine.
Exactly. This is what happens.
He's so sad.
If you don't,
It gives him dementia. That's
extreme sad. That's crazy.
That lonely, he's so lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's really dark.
No, sad.
I don't want to get into that.
No, that's a dangerous tunnel to head down.
So I thought, why not turn this show into a game a la like the Game of Life, except instead of being the Game of Life, it's just called Monogamy. And it's essentially like a spin on Monopoly, where you just go around the board. You start as one of the rafters, and depending on who you are, you've either got to like foster a relationship over the course of while you go around the board. Or you have to keep your, like if you're like playing Julie or Dave, for example, you've got to keep your marriage going. So just like a couple of examples for things that have been swapped out. So instead of going to jail, you go to therapy. You can go to couples therapy. And the chance and community chest are obviously going to be replaced with fortune cookies from Mr. Wong.
Ah.
So they'll give you a couple of little bonuses along the way. So you just go around the board and just try and end up getting shacked up with someone.
Nice. That's how you win at life.
That's
how you win.
The game of Lent.
Yeah. And then if you don't, if you don't end up with somebody, I guess you're like the Ben of the series.
Yep.
Maybe you did the wrong thing and your wife died or something.
It's his fault she died.
And then you lose. I was thinking like maybe you could have it so like if you have seven players, each player has to like be like shacked up with one of the other players by the end of the game. So then like it's like six people win, one person loses, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That's what makes a good relationship. Making sure your other people are unhappy.
Absolutely.
I could see myself forming a dirtbag alliance with Jez in this game.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Got to be a dirtbag alliance.
Of course.
Yeah. Strange bedfellows sort of relationship.
Are you talking about like the Michael Caton and Paul Hogan and classic?
Yeah.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
And then like the idea got stolen. And they made a was it like I now pronounce you like Chuck and Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the exact same concept.
A Kevin James Adam Sandler film. Who would have thought that Kevin James and Adam Sandler couldn't get that right?
Did you know there is a board game called Monogamy?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a couples game. Monogamy, like, a hot affair game.
Oh, like a sex game?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
There's two different sets of cards, intimate and passionate. And you draw them and you do stuff.
I might get onto that.
Yeah.
Is there like another one called polygamy?
Should be. Mm-hmm. Monogamy just doesn't seem like a very arousing title.
It's not a sexy word. No. Yeah. It sounds more like a low-key family board game.
Yeah.
get that one for your kids for Christmas.
Yeah. Yep.
It'd be fun times.
I don't have a reboot for this one.
Yeah.
But I did think it would be fun just to basically, we sort of did a little bit last night when we were out talking about the show. Just replacing the actors in this show with other Australian actors that they would normally cast. So, you know, let's take out Eric Thompson, plug in Gary Sweet, boom. take out Rebecca Gibney, Georgie Parker, Lisa McCune. Yeah. There's options. Let's take out Nathan. Lincoln Lewis can just slip in there. No Michael Caton, put in Paul Hogan.
Well, I reckon you get John Howard.
You get John Howard for that.
Who's playing Carbo?
Ooh, that's a great question. Nick Giannopoulos.
Obviously, we're all thinking Nick Giannopoulos.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, he's based off.
Yeah.
Maybe Vince Colosimo could. You could even put Vince Colosimo in as in for Eric Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, there's. True. You could just. It's very. Like, there's the same group of Australian, like, TV actors that just cycle through.
They really do.
And it's like, yeah, Eric Thompson's like Channel 7's man. And actually, Rebecca Gibney is Channel 7's lady, first lady. And then it was Lisa McCune until Rebecca Gibney killed her. ate her heart.
My God. It was brutal.
I think Gary Sweet's Channel 9's man.
Yeah.
I've seen Gary Sweet on All Saints, just want to say. That was a 7.
Oh, he's a man for all seasons.
Yeah,
Gary for Sweet. All Saints.
Yeah. I think Channel 10 has Gary Young, so.
Yeah, they're the real winners.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to jump in with a quick little reboot of my own. So from the first episode, there was the daughter's abusive boyfriend.
Yep.
So I think throughout the series at some point, they might have tried to resolve that with him, realized he was obviously going through some bad times. People make mistakes, but they try to help him out, try to get him back on his feet. So they take him in and just get him through his rehab. So I think that was just like a little story arc within the series. And that little mini arc would be called Gacked to the Rafters.
Gacked to the Rafters.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that title was going to come up.
Yep. Had to get it in there.
And it has.
It was either going to be that or they take in former tennis superstar Pat Rafter Pat to the Rafters.
Pat to the Rafters.
Oh, I think that's a single episode. I think that's a special guest episode.
There'll be a TV event.
Yeah, that's like the cold open for should they?
Yeah, God,
they're going around in the morning and then
knock on the door. Right after the Australian Open finishes.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd just be plugging that nonstop.
I can tell that Pat Rafter definitely made an appearance. I'll tell you also definitely made an appearance. David Koch. Koch made an appearance. Oh, he makes it his business to appear on as many Channel 7 things as possible.
Must be his contract.
Yeah, exactly. When he's not, you know, steering Port Adelaide Footy Club into the ground, he's trying to destroy Channel 7.
I didn't know he was the president of that club. He's a long time.
An absolute maniac as well. No, he's worse than Jeff Kennett. But this is a TV podcast, not a football podcast. Yeah, so I'm not going to sit here and bash David Koch. I could do it for hours, but I'm not going to.
You're only bashing him in regards to his television career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another standing invitation. I'm not going to fight him. That list is getting too long.
We've got to start crossing some people off that list.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think Pitbull's going to make the journey down, to be honest. I don't think he even knows who I am.
I find that difficult to believe.
You don't think Pitbull knows about TIS?
Oh, no, I think he does. That's what I'm saying. He's hyper aware.
Yeah.
It's one of his characteristics.
Listening to it.
He's just training.
Listen to it while sharpening his blades.
Body for you. So you, Pitbull... 3 Viagras each. No pants, no shoes.
Like a real Dave Rafter style.
Hanging dong.
Hanging dong, oiled up. And I'm just going to fight. Yeah, sweet. Hopefully all the blood goes to my fists.
That fist Viagra.
Exactly.
Just get huge.
Rock hard.
Like the Hulk.
Like Popeye.
Just massive forearms. Fingers so bloated, you just can't even close it. Just open palm.
It's like Like all those like big one hands. Yeah. Yeah,
just gonna beat people to death with my swollen hands. You hear that, Pitbull? I'm coming for you. All right. Okay. No more threatening Pitbull on my podcast.
It does not get any more official than that. It doesn't. All right. Shall we move on to our IMDb list?
I am very excited to hear this.
Yes. Let's do it. This week, we have a list from user Christy in Oregon. And her list is Canadian, UK, and Australian actors you've never heard of.
Oh.
Which, to be honest, I don't even know why I'm bothering because you've never heard of them. So
she's American.
Yes, presumably. So here are some people that you guys have never heard of.
No. Go ahead.
Rebecca Trice. Gibney.
Okay.
Not familiar with
them. Eric Thomas. Brooke Satchwell.
No.
Ever heard of them?
Not familiar with them.
No.
No.
Didn't think you would have. A few more. Miranda Hart.
I actually don't know her.
Oh, really? She's a British comedian.
Oh, yeah.
She has the show Miranda. Yeah.
She's very tall.
How about Catherine Tate?
I know Catherine Tate.
No, you haven't heard of her.
No, I haven't. No, okay, no. I haven't. You're right.
Your mistake.
Yeah. I actually despise Catherine Tate.
Me too. She really ruined The Office.
She ruined The Office. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch the last season. I just can't understand why.
Why did they put her in? Yeah, she was the most irritating character.
She wasn't funny at all.
No.
The arc of her being funny ended after an episode. She didn't. I thought when she came for the job interview, perfect. She's insane. Don't need her. And then.
Yeah. Just there for two seasons.
Oh, that's yeah, I know. I've never actually finished The American Office purely because of that.
Yeah. Well, good thing you haven't heard of her.
Mm. You're right.
And then two others that you definitely haven't heard of are Matt Smith.
Yeah, don't know him.
No. Nah, not familiar with him.
And someone else you don't know, David Tennant.
All right. There's some
David Tennant.
They've clearly gone to some shows and just picked out Matt Smith, David Tennant, Catherine Tate. That's all Doctor Who.
Yeah, there is a lot of Doctor Who people on here. Billy Piper. And then, John Sim from Life on Mars.
Yeah, he's in Doctor Who.
Yep. There's a lot of Torchwood action. Yeah, but never heard of any of those people.
David Tennant is in a lot of American movies.
Very high profile.
Yeah, and in a lot of American TV shows. Yeah. That Broadchurch remake is an American remake and he's in it.
Yeah. Is there really?
Insane Popper, yeah.
Oh.
It's actually a really good cast. I watched the first couple of episodes, but I couldn't
of the American one.
Yeah.
Have you seen the UK one?
Well, I didn't know there was a UK. I didn't know it was a UK original. Because I like David Tennant. So I'm like, I'll give that a go. And Michael Penney was in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is it Grace Point?
Grace Point.
Yeah, right.
And it's run by Chris Chibnall as well, the showrunner.
Yeah. So I watched the first couple of episodes. It was interesting, but then I don't know why.
I suppose it gets cancelled and that's what you get for having an actor that no one's ever heard of. It's the lead.
Exactly right.
True. How do you pull people in?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of David Tennant despite not knowing who he is.
Yeah.
I've never heard of him though, so I wouldn't. Yeah. I should say.
You just made all that up.
Exactly. I've also never heard of this Brooke Satchwell.
No.
Mm.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Sounds attractive though.
Yeah. What about, did John Howard get in the list? Because I haven't heard of him.
No, but I have, so yeah, they had to take him off.
That's why he's not on the list.
I sent them a message and said, I've heard of John Howard.
Mm.
But they went through...
can we actually send this person a message? I've heard of all these people.
Yeah.
Your list is redundant.
And they went through, on each person, it has a note, explaining who they are and what they've done. But they've written their own basic version of what...
This is what IMDb is for.
On IMDb already. It's such a strange community.
It's so weird. I think we've probably spent more time exploring it than
it's a great subculture.
Anyone. Mm. It's crazy.
Anyway, what? Any plans to go back and watch any more of this show? Or
absolutely not for me.
Just wouldn't be able to hack the ads.
That's one thing. But some of it is on YouTube. If you want to check it out there, no
do a best of.
Yeah, I do not want to check it out there. People have made fan videos about Dave and Julie's relationship.
Really?
Set clips to music.
Who's
doing that?
I feel there's
that for every show.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always strange what shows get real cult followings.
Yeah.
I
some of my favorite types of those fan videos are the ones where people cross over two different shows. I remember seeing one with Dean Winchester and Veronica Mars.
Yeah, so they'll cut slow-mo shots of them together.
Yeah, so they're looking at each other and running after each other.
Playing the fray.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so strange. That's another really bizarre subculture.
I love recuts where they'll get Like there's really good Seinfeld ones where people have recut like an episode of Seinfeld to be like some sort of like
like a different genre.
Yeah, to be like a movie. Like the one there's one about like there's like a there was one called Cromerica Industries and it's like a it's like a economic thriller set in Wall Street and like it just looks hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah.
So my favorite recuts of anything on YouTube are by far. Have you seen the Oral Nauts recuts of the Star Wars films?
No.
So they start at like episode one. They cut that down into like a 12-minute thing.
Mm.
Then episode two is like 20 minutes. Episode three is 30 minutes. And then when they get to like the original 4, 5, 6, they're like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they are insane. They are so funny.
Yeah, those things are next level.
They're hilarious.
I've never heard of them.
I'll send you a link, Morgan.
Please do. I will
enlighten yourself. It's some of the funniest shit I've ever seen.
But back to the rafters. Back there.
No.
I remain firm in the belief that it is an Australian seventh heaven. Yeah. And I don't want any part in that.
I completely agree. What are you, Scott? Do you reckon you'll traverse back into any more of it?
I can't see it happening, but... Stranger things have happened.
You seem more like a winners and losers kind of man.
Apparently, I was reading that the reason why there's so few episodes in season 6 was because they were making room for winners and losers.
Oh.
So.
Right.
I don't really know what that show is or what it's about. I had a friend that worked on it.
It starts with a family winning the lottery or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then they have to decide whether to give it to somebody to get a kidney donation.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons plays the dad.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
The mum.
He wants all the money for his boob job. And it's a whole thing.
He's a maniac. He's already got two.
He's mad with power, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give it to him, but he overpowered them.
He's recovered in them.
Exactly.
It's just a set of boobs.
Oh, dear.
By the end of it.
Yeah, but no, I've got no plans to. I to be honest, like I said, if you were keen on checking this show out and just want to watch a little bit of it, watch the first and the last, and that will actually cover everything. You do not need to get too involved in this show.
If you want to get sad looking at Michael Caton not being able to remember who he is, this might be the show for you.
I personally don't want to do that. So
no, me neither.
Okay. Well, anyway, I reckon we should probably just leave things there. Aaron, where can people find us online?
You can jump on our website, theincompleteseries.com. Check out the episodes. Throw in a suggestion for another shows like this one. I think our next episode coming up, we're going to do MacGyver.
Ooh, I'm excited about that.
Back to the US. Back to
where we've been. Yeah. I feel safer.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Or social media. Facebook, Twitter, The Incomplete Series.
Jump on our Instagram, give us a like.
Only the Instagram?
I don't run anything else, but I run the Instagram. So
it's really competitive between us.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, just get... he's always trying to box me out.
Internal warring factions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some say it's not good for the brand, but I think it invigorates, invigorates the team.
No, we love conflict.
Yeah. You can also head on to Podchaser and rate individual episodes if you want there. Make some comments. Tell us what you think. How you thought this episode went without Jeremy.
Jerome.
Mm.
And please, jump on iTunes, rate and review. They do go a long way to getting us further out there. Anyway, we'll probably just leave it there, as I said earlier. But actually now leave it there.
Can you just leave it there?
Yeah, I'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. Thanks, Scott. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Let's leave it here.